Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we dive into Expecting Better by Emily Oster, a groundbreaking book that serves as a beacon for expectant mothers and their partners navigating the sea of pregnancy guidance. Published in 2013, this work stands apart by dissecting a myriad of pregnancy myths with a scalpel of clarity and precision, ultimately presenting the facts untainted by societal presuppositions. Emily Oster is not only a renowned American economist, but also a distinguished professor at Brown University. With Cribsheet, a data-driven guide to better, more relaxed parenting, from birth to preschool, on her roster of best-selling books, Oster applies her analytical acumen to the realm of pregnancy, offering a fresh perspective that prioritizes evidence over tradition and data over law. Expecting Better is a treasure trove for anyone at the threshold of parenthood, especially those who find themselves adrift in the ocean of conflicting advice about pregnancy and childbirth. Through this book, Oster empowers readers to sift through the noise and make informed decisions based on solid evidence. Whether you are an expectant mother considering becoming one, or simply in search of unadulterated facts about pregnancy, this book promises to enlighten and reassure. Join us as we explore how Expecting Better provides peace of mind by unveiling the truth behind common pregnancy advice, allowing for a happy and healthy journey to parenthood. Expecting Better: Why the Conventional Pregnancy Wisdom is Wrong and What You Really Need to Know. Introduction. Navigating Pregnancy with Evidence-Based Wisdom. Stepping into the realm of pregnancy can feel like entering a maze of do's and don'ts. Cut down on your caffeine intake, steer clear of deli meats, and monitor your weight gain meticulously. These are just a few of the myriad instructions thrown at women during this pivotal time. It's a stage filled with joy, anticipation, and, unfortunately, a good deal of confusion and fear-mongering. Why are these particular guidelines in place? How will flouting them impact the health of your baby? Enter Emily Oster, an economist with a flair for diving deep into data. When she was pregnant, she encountered the same bewildering array of advice and realized that most pregnant women are handed a playbook of rules devoid of context or concrete evidence. Not one to take things at face value, Oster applied her analytical acumen to the task at hand, dissecting the data to uncover what advice genuinely holds water and what doesn't. The revelations she unearthed are both illuminating and liberating. This summary peels back the layers of pregnancy advice, debunking long-standing myths, and clarifying complex issues from conception through childbirth. You'll explore the following revelations: the truth about enjoying a glass of wine during pregnancy, insights into the real risks of prenatal screening and invasive diagnostic tests, a realistic look at the dramatized portrayals of water breaking in movies and TV shows. Prepare to embark on a journey through pregnancy armed, not with a list of prohibitions, but with knowledge and confidence. Part 1. Empowering Decision-Making in Pregnancy with Economic Analysis. Imagine being bombarded with a plethora of do's and don'ts upon finding out you're pregnant. This was the reality for Emily Oster, a leading economist who quickly realized that navigating pregnancy advice felt more like navigating a minefield of unsupported claims and stringent prohibitions. Oster, grounded in a profession that demands clarity, evidence, and logic, found herself questioning the rigid advice dispensed by healthcare professionals. Rather than explanations backed by solid data, she received absolute decrees: no coffee, amniocentesis, strictly for those over 35, leaving her to wonder about the factual basis of these rules. Refusing to take these guidelines at face value, Oster applied the tools of her trade to the fraught field of prenatal care. Economists thrive on making well-informed decisions based on comprehensive data analysis. But the realm of pregnancy advice seemed mired in vague recommendations and scaremongering. Seeking the clarity that her profession afforded her, She delved into the core of medical literature, hunting for the hard facts behind the advice doled out to expectant mothers. The quest for good data drove Oster beyond the surface-level insights provided by pregnancy guides and articles, probing into the depths of academic research for concrete statistics. This journey uncovered a landscape of research varying in quality, where probably fine and risky were common qualifiers but rarely quantified. Yet, gleaning useful insights from observational data, a necessary skill for economists who often work without the luxury of randomized trials, Oster began to unravel the threads of wisdom woven into the fabric of prenatal care advice. The exploration didn't stop at gathering data. Drawing from her economic background, Oster weighed the pros and cons of each piece of pregnancy advice, advocating for an individualized approach to decision-making. Recognizing that each woman's circumstances, values, and risk tolerance vary greatly, she championed for informed choices that consider both the scientific evidence and personal preferences. This perspective not only challenges the one-size-fits-all approach often encountered in prenatal care, but also encourages expectant mothers to engage critically with the information presented to them. As this summary unfolds, you'll discover a treasure trove of insights that Oster unearthed. Some may reinforce well-established guidelines, while others might prompt you to question and reevaluate common beliefs. Armed with the evidence she presents, expectant mothers can navigate the complex landscape of pregnancy with confidence, making decisions that best align with their values and circumstances. Part 2: Demystifying Pregnancy Planning with Data-Driven Insights. When the journey to parenthood begins, it's accompanied by a whirlwind of questions. From the impact of age on fertility to the effects of lifestyle choices, the road to conceiving is paved with uncertainty. However, diving into the research can illuminate this path, making the process less daunting and more informed. One of the most pressing concerns for many is the biological clock. Society often emphasizes a best by 35 inches deadline for women, suggesting fertility falls off a cliff beyond this age. Yet, this is not entirely accurate. While it's true that fertility naturally declines as women age, particularly after 40, it's far from a sudden halt. A study observing 2,000 women aiming to conceive showed an encouraging statistic: 36% of women over 40 became pregnant within a year. This data suggests that while age is a factor, it's not an insurmountable barrier to pregnancy. Physical health is another area of focus. The discussion often centers around achieving an ideal weight before pregnancy, but it's essential to approach this topic with nuance. While obesity can raise the risk of complications during pregnancy, having a few extra pounds doesn't stand as a hardline deterrent to conceiving. The key is maintaining a balanced, healthy lifestyle rather than fixating on specific numbers on a scale. Timing plays a crucial role in the conception puzzle. Understanding one's ovulation cycle is instrumental, and thankfully, there are several methods to track it. Though pee sticks offer a high degree of accuracy, they come with a price tag. Temperature charting presents a cost-effective and simple alternative. By recording daily temperatures, women can notice the post-ovulation rise in body temperature, which, as shown in a University of Naples study, helped 60% of participants identify their ovulation day or the day before. Another method involves observing cervical mucus, which changes consistency to become clear and stretchy, like egg whites around ovulation. This bodily signpost, while somewhat reliable, offered a near 50% accuracy rate in detecting ovulation, in the same University of Naples study. But what about after a potential conception? The 2-week wait to confirm a pregnancy is fraught with do's and don'ts, particularly around alcohol consumption. Here, the data offers reassurance. An occasional drink, even a stronger one, is unlikely to impact fertilization adversely. While excessive drinking is indeed harmful, moderate intake during this uncertain period does not significantly risk the developing embryo. Cells impacted by alcohol are typically replaced unless the damage is extensive, which might prevent pregnancy altogether. By navigating pregnancy planning with a lens of evidence and analysis, couples can approach this chapter with greater clarity and confidence. The journey to conception, while unique for everyone, can be made smoother with insights grounded in research and data. Part 3, First Trimester. Foundations, decisions, myths, and real risks. For many, the first trimester of pregnancy is a period marked by excitement, anticipation, and an underlying sense of apprehension. It's a time when every piece of advice and every warning is weighed heavily as the fear of miscarriage looms large. The impulse to err on the side of caution is understandable, yet it's essential to separate myth from reality to navigate these early weeks with confidence and clarity. Contrary to common beliefs, certain dietary pleasures do not need to be forsaken. Moderate indulgence in alcohol, think 1 to 2 drinks per week, has not been shown to affect the baby's IQ or behavior negatively, nor does it increase the risk of miscarriage during the first trimester. Similarly, caffeine intake, limited to about 2 8-ounce cups of coffee daily, does not pose a threat to the developing baby. When it comes to dietary do's and don'ts, the fear surrounding raw eggs and fish like sushi is largely unfounded for pregnant women. The real culprits to avoid are raw meat due to toxoplasmosis and high mercury fish, not because of bacteria like Salmonella and E. coli, but due to potential mercury content affecting the child's IQ. Instead, opt for fish rich in omega-3 fatty acids, such as salmon and sardines, which support fetal brain development, all the while steering clear of canned tuna. Arming oneself with knowledge about the statistical risk of miscarriage can also offer some solace. While many wait until the 12th week to announce their pregnancy due to miscarriage concerns, it's essential to understand that the risk doesn't abruptly end at this time. Instead, it gradually decreases throughout the pregnancy, starting at an 11% risk at 6 weeks, reducing to 6% by 8 weeks, and dwindling to just 2% by 11 weeks. Age plays a factor too, with miscarriage rates increasing from 4.4% in women under 20 to 19% by age 35. Factors like in vitro fertilization and a history of miscarriages also contribute to higher risks. Interestingly, one indicator of a healthy pregnancy is the presence of nausea. Studies have shown that women who did not experience nausea in the first trimester had a 30% incidence of miscarriage. Nausea typically spans between 6 to 14 weeks, with vomiting being more short-lived. For the small percentage of women who experience severe nausea, there is no need to endure it silently. Safe and effective treatments range from home remedies like ginger or vitamin B6 to prescription medications including Unisom and Zofran. Navigating the first trimester with informed confidence rather than unwarranted fear allows for a smoother journey through pregnancy. Understanding the genuine risks and debunking prevalent myths paves the way for healthier choices and a more serene mindset as expectant mothers prepare for the road ahead. Part 4. Deciphering the complex universe of prenatal testing. The journey through pregnancy is often punctuated with decisions that weigh heavily on expectant mothers, and few are as daunting as those surrounding prenatal testing. The question is not only whether to proceed with testing, but also which tests to choose. It's a deeply personal decision, influenced by a myriad of factors, and there's no universal correct choice. Prenatal testing is the window through which potential chromosomal abnormalities such as Down syndrome are identified prior to birth. The landscape of testing is divided into two main categories: prenatal screening and invasive testing, each with its distinct approach and implications. Understanding the nuances of prenatal screening is akin to selecting ripe fruit based on appearance. It's generally reliable but not infallible. While doctors can predict the health of a baby by looking for certain markers, the process is subject to both false negatives and false positives. Traditional prenatal screenings couple blood tests, which measure hormone levels, with ultrasounds. A more modern approach involves analyzing cell-free DNA in the mother's blood, offering a significant leap in accuracy. This method capitalizes on the fragments of the baby's DNA circulating in the mother's bloodstream, rendering the potential for chromosomal irregularity detection with remarkable precision. The likelihood of an incorrect negative result for women aged between 30 and 34 stands at an astonishingly low chance of 1 in 90,097. On the flip side, invasive testing boasts a 100% accuracy rate but comes with a caveat: the minuscule yet present risk of miscarriage, estimated at about 1 in 800. This category includes techniques such as amniocentesis and chorionic villus sampling, CVS, each extracting samples from the baby's environment, but at different stages of pregnancy. Amniocentesis, the older of the two methods, is conducted between the 16th and 20th weeks, while CVS can occur as early as the 10th week. Although CVS was once a common procedure, the rise of cell-free DNA testing has led to its diminished prevalence, potentially increasing its associated risks due to practitioners' decreasing familiarity. For some, bypassing these medical procedures entirely is a viable path. This approach involves embracing the statistical probabilities associated with the parent's age and waiting to meet their baby at birth without the prior knowledge that prenatal testing provides. Navigating the options around prenatal testing requires a robust decision-making framework. By weighing the available information against personal values and risk appetites, expectant parents can make the choices that align best with their hopes and fears for their pregnancy and future child. Part 5: Embracing the Second Trimester, Choices and Challenges. Progressing into the second trimester of pregnancy, expectant mothers find themselves navigating a period of deep transformation and preparation. It's a phase where lifestyle adjustments from the first trimester give way to a focus on maintaining balance through exercise, nutrition, and navigating the minefield of prenatal decisions, such as finding out your baby's sex. A common concern during this time is weight management. The narrative around weight gain in pregnancy is often mired in undue stress, with some doctors placing too much emphasis on adhering to strict guidelines. However, the reality is nuanced. While excessive weight gain can pose challenges, including a higher likelihood of requiring a C-section, the risks associated with gaining too little are far more concerning. Babies born small, for gestational age, carry an increased risk of developing complications like diabetes and encountering cognitive challenges later in life. Exercise emerges as a beacon of positivity during the second trimester, despite the challenges it may present. The consensus is clear: engaging in regular physical activity correlates with lower risk pregnancies. While skeptics may argue this association simply reflects the pre-pregnancy health status of those who exercise, prenatal yoga and similar low-impact activities have demonstrated tangible benefits, albeit in limited studies. Caution is advised with high-impact sports, such as skiing, due to the risk of falls that could potentially detach the placenta, a serious health concern. Sleep patterns, too, undergo modifications, and while sleep aids can offer relief, moderation is vital. Common options like Unisom are generally considered safe, although not universally effective. The evidence on the long-term use of Ambien raises concerns about potential risks such as preterm birth and low birth weight, indicating a need for careful consideration and consultation with healthcare providers. The myth surrounding sleeping positions, specifically the suggestion to avoid sleeping on your back to prevent reduced blood flow to the placenta, lacks practical support. The majority of existing evidence suggests that comfort should guide sleeping positions rather than strictly adhering to such guidelines. Amidst these physical and lifestyle considerations, the second trimester also presents the opportunity to discover your baby's sex through methods like ultrasound or blood samples, the latter of which has seen advancements in accuracy. While some families may cling to old wives' tales for predictions, these methods lack scientific backing. Ultimately, the decision to pursue gender determination lies with the individual or couple. Whether through prenatal testing or the timeless tradition of waiting until birth, the second trimester is a period of significant growth adjustment, and anticipation as expectant mothers traverse this landscape in informed choices and understanding. The balance between caution and well-being can make all the difference in fostering a healthy and enjoyable pregnancy journey. Part 6. Third trimester. Decisions, navigating complications, and delivery plans. As you embark on the third trimester, the anticipation of meeting your baby grows, but so does the potential for various pregnancy complications. It's a critical period where informed decision-making becomes your strongest asset, helping you face any concerns with clarity and confidence. Premature birth stands out as a significant concern during this stage. Despite widespread belief in bed rest as a preventive measure, research doesn't support its effectiveness. Furthermore, the potential for bone loss and muscle atrophy from prolonged inactivity highlights the importance of seeking alternatives. Fortunately, the landscape of neonatal care has evolved dramatically. Technological advances have extended the survival chances of babies born as early as 22 weeks, with prospects improving considerably with each passing week. In cases where premature labor does occur, modern medicine offers interventions like medication to delay birth temporarily, affording crucial time for treatments that accelerate fetal lung maturity. Monitoring cervical changes, both dilation and effacement, provides insight into the labor timeline, helping expectant mothers and their families prepare for the arrival. Delivery decisions also occupy a central role in the third trimester dialogue. The rising prevalence of labor induction and cesarean sections, often driven by convenience, opens a discussion on the appropriateness of these interventions. While C-sections are invaluable in emergencies, they're not always the optimal first choice. Induction of labor deemed safe at full-term gestation carries certain risks if performed earlier. It's noteworthy that some reasons for induction, such as low amniotic fluid levels, lack substantial evidence to necessitate such measures. Among induction methods, nipple stimulation emerges as an effective non-medical option. Another technique, membrane stripping, involves a manual procedure to encourage the onset of labor and has shown to be effective, albeit with varying levels of success. As you navigate the final stretch of pregnancy, understanding the nuances of premature birth risks, labor indications, and the pros and cons of delivery methods empowers you to make choices aligned with the best outcomes for you and your baby. Armed with knowledge and supported by healthcare providers, the path to delivery can be approached with optimism and preparedness, marking a hopeful transition to parenthood. Part 7. Understanding labor, a guide to its phases and interventions. Entering the delivery room armed with knowledge about the labor process can transform an experience marked by uncertainty into one navigated with confidence. Labor, often shrouded in vagueness or depicted dramatically in media, actually unfolds in three distinct stages, each with its own pace and set of considerations. The first stage is a marathon, not a sprint, divided into initial dilation and active labor phases. This phase can stretch over days or even weeks, marking the gradual preparation of your body for delivery. A common benchmark suggests the cervix should dilate at a minimum rate of 1 centimeter per hour. Yet a comprehensive study from Hawaii in 2002 highlights that 1-2 centimeters per hour is more typical. Slow dilation might prompt medical intervention, either through administering Pitocin to induce labor or opting for a C-section, particularly if the baby shows signs of distress. Contrary to the sudden, water-breaking moments portrayed on screen, only about 10% of women actually experience their water breaking as the first sign of labor. For most, labor has already commenced by this point. If the water breaks but labor does not follow within 12 hours, induction may become necessary to mitigate infection risks. Should active labor proceed sluggishly, medical professionals might manually break the water and possibly introduce Pitocin to expedite the process. The second stage of labor, pushing, ranges in duration from mere minutes to several hours, culminating in the momentous arrival of the baby. Challenges during this stage often arise from the baby's positioning, which can hinder progress. In some instances, even those committed to a vaginal birth might need to consider a C-section. Prior C-sections and breech presentations, where the baby is feet first, are primary circumstances where a C-section may be recommended or considered. It's notable that in breech scenarios, there is a possibility for external manual repositioning by the doctor. The final stage involves the delivery of the placenta immediately following the birth of the baby. While brief, this part of labor can be surprisingly uncomfortable for the mother, yet it signifies the completion of the childbirth process. Post-birth, the decision to delay clamping the umbilical cord presents an opportunity to support the health of preterm infants significantly. This practice allows a final transfusion of nutrient-rich blood, aiding in preventing anemia and reducing other neonatal risks. Understanding these stages and the medical interventions that may accompany them equips expecting parents to face labor with insight and preparedness. With this knowledge in hand, the journey through labor can be approached with a clearer sense of direction and a readiness to make informed decisions. Part 8: Finding your path through labor and delivery choices. Embarking on the labor and delivery journey exposes a wide spectrum of preferences and decisions each expecting mother faces. Amid the contrasting narratives of medical intervention versus natural birth, there's a personalized path that lies in between, tailored to each woman's unique needs and desires. Pain management during labor is a primary example of this choice spectrum. While a significant majority in the United States opt for pain relief measures such as epidurals, it's important to weigh the benefits against potential implications. An epidural, popular for its effective pain relief, renders the lower body numb, potentially complicating the baby's positioning due to restricted maternal movement. Yet, this doesn't necessitate a completely pharmaceutical-free approach. Pitocin, often used to stimulate labor, plays a crucial role in reducing the risk of postpartum hemorrhage, showcasing how selective use of medical interventions can be beneficial. The creation of a birth plan stands as a testament to the importance of pre-labor preparation. It not only allows you to deliberate on decisions such as pain management, eating and drinking during labor, and procedures you might want to avoid, like episiotomies, but it also facilitates a meaningful dialogue with your healthcare provider, ensuring your preferences are heard and respected. Highlighting the value of support during this transformative experience, the role of a doula emerges as a powerful ally for the mother. Empirical evidence from studies conducted in 2008 and 1991 underscores the profound impact a doula can have, from reducing the likelihood of a C-section to minimizing the need for an epidural and shortening labor duration. This exemplifies how non-medical interventions can significantly enhance the birthing experience. Another aspect worth contemplating is the setting of the birth. The allure of a home birth lies in its promise of a familiar, controlled environment where the mother's preferences reign supreme. From avoiding unwelcomed interventions to fostering a more comfortable postpartum recovery. While the risk of emergency complications necessitating hospital transfer is relatively low, it's a factor that requires careful consideration. As you navigate these decisions, grounding your choices in thorough research and introspection ensures a birthing plan that resonates deeply with your personal philosophy and comfort level. Remember, the journey through pregnancy is just the beginning. Once your little one arrives, a whole new world of decisions awaits, each an opportunity to shape the nurturing environment your child will thrive in. Final summary. The essence of navigating pregnancy and childbirth lies in the empowerment that comes from being well-informed. As you embark on this profound journey, understanding that not all commonly held beliefs and practices hold up under scrutiny is vital. What may be deemed risky by societal standards could, in fact, pose minimal danger upon closer examination. Similarly, some methods widely accepted as safe or standard might not be the best option for everyone. Conventional wisdom, while providing a broad guide, often fails to accommodate the unique circumstances and needs of each expectant mother. Additionally, The quality and applicability of scientific research can vary, underscoring the importance of a discerning and questioning approach to pregnancy-related advice. In essence, the journey through pregnancy and into parenthood is as unique as each individual embarking on it. Staying informed, critically evaluating information, and making choices that align with your personal values and situations are keys to a fulfilling and empowered pregnancy experience. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.